What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 448 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are continuing on with our theme of action movies that never got a sequel. We paired this up with the RoboCop franchise. The next movie on this list after what? Spawn, Constantine, and now we are up to 2010's Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Now, I'm going to, you know, when I host fun facts and some information, then we get them scores and we go to Alex. Fun fact number one. I know Alex doesn't like this movie. Now, the only reason I know that is because when this movie came out on 4K, he watched it and said, this movie. So I know that it is one of my favorite movies, period. Mm. Like, it's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time. Now, we haven't done many of those on this show. I think we've done, out of my top 10, we've done like three, but they're not all action movies. So that's why. Yeah. But anyway, so I love it. He does not love it. I don't know if things changed. We didn't talk about it. Maybe now he loves it or he still hates it. I don't know, but I'm excited. Some fun facts about Scott Pilgrim vs. World. I saw this at a midnight screening in 2010. It was packed. And then the movie bombed opening weekend. It only made like $10 million. If you watch and read a lot of the information on it, Universal, and this makes a lot of sense, Universal did not know how to market it. It's a very unique movie. It is a unique movie. They didn't know if they should market it as a musical because there's a lot of musical numbers. They didn't know if they should market it as a comic book movie because, well, it is. It's also kind of like a video game as a movie. So like, there's so many elements. They had a hard time marketing it. It ended up being a big financial failure for Universal. The budget between 60 and 85 million. Worldwide total ended up being 51 million. It has gone on to make a ton of money on disc. And it now has a huge following. So much so that they've done an anime on Netflix that came out last year with all the original voice cast. All the cast from the movie returned to do the voices for the anime. There have been video games that have sold really well on PlayStation. So like, it has a big following, but it was a bomb. How many movies is that? A lot. There's a lot of movies that we could talk. John Wick 1 was not a huge hit, but guess what? Now there's four of them babies because video saved it pretty much. So that was just some background. This is based off of a set of graphic novels by a writer named Brian Lee O'Malley, directed by Edgar Wright. If you're not familiar, he did, I'm trying to think of what we, Baby Driver. We reviewed that. Yeah. He directed that. Of course, Shaun of the Dead, probably his most famous movie he's known for. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Didn't he do Ant-Man?
So that was interesting. Oh, no, he did. He was supposed to do Ant-Man.
Right? He wrote.
He got a writing credit because he was supposed to direct it. And based off of this movie is one of the reasons, because before we review it, this is one of the most like accurate comic to movie like adaptations. And so Marvel was like, hey, this guy, you know, let's tap him. He did a highlight reel. Like, he made his own little like audition tape, basically. It was awesome. They decided to back out and go with Peyton Reed because Edgar Wright was like too creative for them, basically. And they were like, no, we need someone we can like tell what to do and they'll just do it. And so he ended up dropping Creative Differences, the classic, you know. So I'm interested to see. I wonder what his Ant-Man movie would have been.
I think it would have been better.
Better. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And it would have been more fun. So, and not that Ant-Man's not fun, but it would have been more. Anyway, yeah. I can't wait to hear your take because all I know is that you didn't like this movie. I don't know why. I cannot wait. I'm very excited. I love talking movies. Alex, before we do, let me give you some Rotten Tomato scores. Uh-oh. Very good. 83% critics, 84% audience. So almost the exact same number for both. Now, without giving your thoughts, do you find those numbers high, low, or like, do you see that that's, you could see that?
No, I can see that. Yeah. I could totally see it. Yeah. I can see that.
All right. Let's get into it, baby. I want to know. Lead character, yeah. Scott Pilgrim, played by Michael Cera. And we could talk about Ramona Flowers. She's the love interest. And that story is like the main storyline, obviously. But he is our main character. He's in the title. Please take it away. What did you think?
All right. So, you know, it's funny. So back then, I mean, I sold the 4K. I got rid of it. Ooh. I remember I was like, I got rid of it. I was like, I'm never watching this again. And honestly, I feel the same way even watching it now. Ooh. Now, I did enjoy it the second time I watched it.
Sure.
You know what it is? That Mike C.
Michael Cera?
The guy who plays Scott. Yeah, him. I felt like he was like a 50-year-old dude playing a young kid. Like how Peter Parker was played by freaking this dude. I forgot his
Andrew
name.
Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire? One of them?
Tobey Maguire, yeah. Right? Like Tobey Maguire was like 40-something and he's playing Peter Parker in high school. And I'm like, I don't get it, but I could see why. Yeah. Like he looks young. Totally get it. I think this was like the success of of a Superbad and
this was
and all the other stuff.
2 years right? after Superbad.
Yeah, so I could totally see it. I'm gonna be really honest with you. Like, even watching, he was annoying.
Ooh.
I felt like the character was annoying. For me, it was annoying. I thought Kate Winslet was really good. I can't call
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, yeah. Elizabeth Moth Winstead? That's her name?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Why do I call her Kate Winstead?
I don't know. Whatever. Let's call her Ramona Flowers.
Yeah, let's just call her Ramona, yeah, Ramona. Right?
Ramona.
I liked her character. Yeah. I thought she was cool. You know what it is with the main character, Scott Pilgrim? I do understand what they were going for. Because I know when I walk into Barnes & Nobles, I do see the anime graphic novel. Like, you see it there. Yeah. And I totally get it. I totally see. He is, what I can say, he fits the role very well. He did exactly what the script wanted him to do. He did it perfectly. For me, felt very teeny bopper. Mm. Like, I don't know. I just, like, there's certain movies that I know, for me, doesn't age well. Like, old school teeny bopper movies. Like, I won't never see those shits again. I used to like them.
Yeah.
But I can see myself going, eh. Like, when we did American Pie's perfect example. Ooh. I was like, oh, okay. Eh, okay, not for me no more. Like, it was a one and done. Yeah. It's not, I'm not saying that the movie was horrible. I was just like, I know I can't see myself watching this again. And for this movie, they had elements. There were certain characters. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. But then his character was very, very teen. And again, he is playing a teen in a rock band. And then it goes wacky, which we're going to talk about. But I just felt like he's just too teeny bopper for me. Sure. So I was just like, yeah, I gave him a 4. I thought he was great.
Okay.
I thought Michael Cera was great.
Now, the funny thing is, too, he is in the movie. He's 22. Scott Pilgrim is 22. Yeah. And the actor was 23. So he actually is aged accurate. Okay. Scott Pilgrim. Now, I got to preface this with, you know, if you're like, Nate, if you're listening and you're like, Nate, you love this movie. I saw this movie in 2010 in the theater. I was 23 when it came out. I was the age of most of the characters in the movie. Therefore, I do have a certain nostalgia for it because when it came out, I was that age. I may not have been these people, but you could see yourself, you know, like a little bit like, damn, like, that's me, right? Like, after college age usually, or very end of college age, I still knew people from like my high school that lived by. So I didn't know high schoolers at the time, but you know, so I related a lot to it. And watching it now, like, I think Michael Cera, you're right. I think he was a perfect casting choice for the role. I didn't read the guy. I'm not a big comic book reader, but from everything I've seen and read and heard, he's like spot on what you would think of. If they made a Scott Pilgrim, he was like the only choice to play him pretty much. Mm. A flawed character, right? You got a high school girlfriend named Knives Chow. He cheats on her pretty much as soon as he meets Ramona. He's like, I gotta have her, but he doesn't want to break up with her, which is kind of a running joke for a little bit throughout the movie. So he's not like some perfect hero guy, right? But ultimately, I just feel like the movie does a great job of making you kind of like fall in love with Scott. You're like, you know what though? He's just like, whatever. But then he'd be fighting. Honestly, he'd be fighting. So it's like this weird, it's a weird movie. It's super, super, super weird. It's hard to like really pin it down, but I love him. I gave him a 5. I think I like Michael Cera. I love Superbad as well. And I think he's funny. And he was on Arrested Development. I don't know if you ever watched Arrested Development, but he was on that show when he was younger too, with Jason Bateman. Shout out to Rich. He probably seen that show like 1,000 times because he loves Jason Bateman. He was in that show as well. I do think he's funny. I kind of like his like meek sort of the way he talks and stuff like that. But yeah, I found him relatable then. And I still think the character is very fun. And I root for him when I watch the movie, you know, like, even though at the end, it's kind of like the two girls and one's going to leave and one, but you know what? It has a happy ending. You guess the girl. I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead in this. You touched on her a little bit. Let me not say it. You didn't touch on her, but you talked about her.
I touched on her a little bit.
I think she's great in this movie. This was the movie that I think a lot of like younger dudes got like a big crush on her from this movie.
I can see why.
Yeah. I totally see why. She's kind of depicted that way as well, but I think she's great. So yeah, I gave it a 5. 4. I like 4. That's a good score as well. All right, let's get to the villain. Now, there are Gideon Graves is the main villain, played by Jason Schwartz. And this movie got a hell of a cast too. We got to talk about it at some point. Jason Schwartzman. Yeah, but then you have her set 6 other evil exes. Now, one's a girl. That's why they're called the evil exes and not ex-boyfriends. But you got like the Indian kid, Matthew Patel. You got Lucas Lee played by Chris Evans. You got Brandon Routh Superman as another one of them.
The bass player.
And then you got the two Asian twins who are DJs.
Yeah, that was funny.
The Kamikaze twins.
aliens. And say, yeah.
So yeah. A lot of villains in this movie. What did you think?
Yeah. I like the villains. Mm-hmm. I like the villains. You know, like I said, the only problem I had was the main guy. Yeah. Like, I just had it. You know, I couldn't relate, to the main guy. Yeah. So, to me, and it's funny because I'm a musician. Well, I'm a musician. So, I was like, oh, okay. So, this movie is half me.
I wanted to ask you about that because I know you play. And I want to know what you think of, like, the music element.
Oh, I loved it. I love the music battles. Yeah. I always thought, because that's exactly how it is. Not exactly how it is, but, like, in your mind, that is something that goes in your mind when you go on stage and stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to battle this band. Yeah. But you're not going like that. But sometimes you wish you did, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, as a musician, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's really cool. Because that is true. When you get a girlfriend and they come along, they're like, oh my God, you're so great. You're the best thing ever, right? Yes. The next thing you know, you're like, ah, you know my parts. I'll be back tomorrow. It's exactly like that when you meet a girl, especially at the age of 20.
Right.
That's exactly how it is. Yeah. You'd be like, peace, guys. You know my parts. I'm out.
Right.
But what they did great with the I like the villains, like I said. So like I was saying, I'll preface this is I enjoyed all of them. Mm-hmm. My favorite one out of all of them was two of them. My favorite one was Chris Evans, over the top action guy.
Lucas Lee.
Lucas Lee, yeah. He's like, I'm talking to you. Said,
the first click you hear is this phone, and the second one is me pulling the trigger.
I thought that was funny. Yeah. And then when he's like, all the stunt doubles and everything, I thought that was mad funny. He's like, which one of us is the real one?
Yeah.
Right? I was like, oh my God. And my favorite one was Brandon Roth, the vegan power.
Oh my God, bro, the vegan.
He's like, what's vegan?
And you once were a vegan, but now you will be vegan.
He said, what's a vegan? Feels like
vegan. What the?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Like, he was my favorite one because they did the bass battle and I thought that was cool. Yeah. And I was like, the one thing I will say Edgar Wright did, this could fall under, it could be under anything. It doesn't even matter. What I enjoyed about it was visually how he turned all this shit into like an anime.
Yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. Especially the scenes that you see him running with the swords. It was like stretched out. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. But with the bad guys, I liked that each of them had different style of fighting. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I love some of them was fighting within the music. Mm-hmm. To me, it was cool as a musician. I was like, oh, that's pretty fun. Yeah. Like when it was the twins versus
the
Katty
and Nagi twins and the big gorilla comes out. the gorilla fight dragons and gorillas. It's awesome.
And my favorite one, I forgot to bring her name, was the drummer. She said, we're going to kick her ass. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, Kim.
Yeah, Kim. Yeah.
We are sex bomb. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see like these crazy accents coming out. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, each villain was pretty good. I liked the villain at the end. He looked like Austin Powers to me.
Yeah.
Like he looked like a real life Austin Powers. So I thought he was cool. But as a whole, I gave it a 5. I thought all the villains were fun. And in terms of the movie, I think that's where the movie is best at is the villains when he goes up against when it goes to the love story with knives and you know and Ramona. To me, I'm like, oh, this is it. Took me out of the funness
of the fights against the exes.
Pretty much,
yeah, I gave it a 5 too. But I agree with everything you said. I think they're one thing. Edgar Wright did a ton right with this, but one of the things that I like is that you have this many, you have 7 evil exes and all of them have a unique scene where, right? You get the first one, Matthew Patel, dude comes busted in through the ceiling. They start fighting that he does like a Bollywood musical number. he's doing the dancing and then he's fighting. Then you have Lucas Lee. He's like a pretty good skateboarder turned pretty good actor. And then he has the stunt double things. Then you have the girl, the one that was a girl.
The lesbian,
has some of the best lines, by the way, like hilarious. And I'll get to it later, but I quote this movie and I know it like almost by heart at this point. So many quotes. And then you have the Katty Nagi twins who that fight is memorable because the whole time they're just playing music. And then it's like these things and the songs are good, by the way. Actually, the songs are good. I know Beck did all the songs that Sex Bomb do was by Beck. The songs, remember the group called Crash and the Boys with the little Asian drummer?
Yeah.
That one song where it's just like, so sad, and then it's over.
Yeah, there was one note. Yeah.
That song was done by, I forget the name of the band, but it was like, it's a band. And then a band called Metric did the Brie Larson, the song that her band does with Brandon Routh.
Okay.
So they used real bands to do like the music and stuff like that. And then they had to teach by the way, Michael Cera played the bass. He knows how to play bass. So he actually played when he had to play bass.
Okay.
So that was cool.
Yeah, it looked like he did play.
Yeah, he seemed like he knew what he was doing, but he did. And they said he's almost too good. He had to do worse so that everyone else didn't look so bad. But anyway.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, why I'm like, I kind of figure like how Lady Gaga, I didn't see Joker 2 yet, right. But I figured Lady Gaga, like, how do you tell a singer to sing bad?
Sing worse so that Joaquin don't sound so bad.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I remember they said like they had to tell her she couldn't sing like she normally do. They got to break it down.
They're like, play a little worse. Like, don't be so good.
don't be yourself.
Yeah, but the Brandon Routh, the bass battle, it's like, bass battle. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that was
things coming out.
Yeah.
The vegan police scene, bro.
It's mad funny.
When Thomas Jane, it's Thomas Jane and Clifton Collins come in, and they come busting in vegan police. Then this is just one quote. Five, I said I gave the villain, five.
The
Clifton Collins like reading him everything he had, and he's like, you knowingly ingested a plate of chicken parmesan, and he's like, chicken is not vegan, and he's like, and then you had gelato, and he's like, gelato's not vegan, and Thomas Jane goes, milk and eggs, bitch. It makes me laugh so hard every single time. It is so funny. And then they take his powers, and then he gets freaking kicked. His head gets kicked, and he explodes into coins. I like that, too. How every time he defeats one of them, they explode into coins.
Into coins. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was unique. It's a very unique film, if nothing else. So five for me, five for you. All right, this is what I want to know. What action? What did you think?
Bro, action is a five. Mm-hmm. I have to give it a five. And... While the movie, I mean, it has a, it's weird. It doesn't have as much, but it does have a lot. When you look at the way Edgar Wright constructed the story and, mm-hmm. and the length of the movie, like the first half of the movie is all the love story. He's all mopey and he meets knives and then he meets Ramona and then it just goes on. And then the movie really takes place once she comes in roller skating, like when he did the Amazon package and he's standing by the door.
Wallace, quick, what's the website for Amazon.ca? It's like Amazon.com. It's so funny.
Yeah. So anyway, like it goes off, right? But I'm going to give it a lot of credit is Edgar Wright did a great job with the fighting sequences. Like I said, you have music battles, you have real hand-to-hand fights. Yeah. And it's all creative. Like, I totally forgot how creative it was. Mm-hmm. Like the first battle.
Yeah.
The guy comes storming through with the finger out, and he's like coming through the ceiling. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's like, what? And then he drops the bass and they start fighting. Yeah. And I thought it was really creative. I thought it looked pretty cool. And then I love the sword coming through. And I thought that stuff was really, he's in love.
That scene is like, great. He's at the powers. End when they're at the place with Gideon, and he's like fighting all the dudes off with the sword. It's like,
it felt very like it, you know, and then when they did the wide shot and it was like versus Scott Pilgrim. Yes. Like it felt like a real video game. Mm-hmm. Like when you're gonna play, and I gave it a kudos because I was like, you know what? It's a very creative directing. I bet it was super hard. Yeah. I bet it was easy or whatever, but I think it was super hard to come up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, damn, how are we going to do this scene? And how are we going to, you know, how are we going to shoot this, you know, whatever. But I liked it. I thought it, in terms of technical and the martial arts, they all were different. Yeah. It's not boring, same stuff. That's what I liked about it. It was each of them had different stuff. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. Some of them had finishers. I thought it was cool. The way he ended every fight was different. It wasn't the same. He hit the back of the knee.
That's so funny.
The lesbian. No. So again, like you had stuff like that. Then you had Nyes versus Ramona. Yeah. And then, you know, whatever. He joined in and then he dies.
Yeah.
And then he had the extra life. Was like very, what is it called? Player rating, player one, right? He had the extra life to win the game and win the money for the town or the city, whatever the hell it was. So I gave it a five. I thought creatively, I thought everything was dope.
Yeah, and you know what? Kudos to them. They did a lot of good fight choreography. I know you don't have the disc anymore, but one of the things is that they had a lot of vlogs. So Edgar Wright, when he was first coming up, he used to vlog, and I'm guessing like primitive YouTube type, because the videos don't look great, but he would vlog making the movies. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, this one, like that was his thing. He was kind of ahead of the game in that sense as far as the internet is concerned. I don't think he does it now, but he had vlogs, and they literally had one where they were all doing the fight training. So he had like Ramona was there, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Michael Cera, him, and they were literally doing court. There's like the Asian dudes are in there doing karate. Like this is like martial arts. A lot of it's like martial arts based fighting. And then you add in like Brandon Routh, he's like powers. He's like lifting him up and levitating him and throwing him out the wall. And I think it's a good blend. I agree with everything you said. Again, you had the fight with the dragons and the gorilla. He's like electricity. That is like a spectacle. And the music that's playing during all the action scenes is always awesome. It adds this movie is a very visual and like audio visual experience, honestly.
Yeah.
It's loud. It's like a lot going on, but I wouldn't say it's like chaotic, and you always can see like it's very well directed. You're not like, what is happening? No, you can like see the fighting and everything. So I agree with you. I think the first half hour, there's no action, but as soon as Matthew Patel pops in, there's like six action scenes because he got to fight all these exes and each one of them has like a full on action scene. So there's a good amount of action, but it's so well done and different, right? It's very creative. So I gave it a 5 as well, like comfortable. And it's not just, I don't want people to say, oh, you're biased because I love it because I think it's legitimately great. So I agree with you. I gave it a 5 as well. All right. Now I can see something maybe changing here for you. What'd you give the storyline?
Okay, so when it comes to storyline, you know, I had to look up on the reading again because I was just like, what really was the story? Mm-hmm. Like, it was a lot of stories in one, right? You had the band battle, them trying to get a rock contract, mm-hmm. right, for the band. He was the bass player, but then the other guy, Young Neil, you know, sounded way better than he did, right?
Young Neil knows my parts.
Yeah, so you could see that, but then it was mostly the love story.
Yeah.
Right? He's with knives, and then he meets Ramona, and then he fell in love with Ramona, and then he cheated on them, so it's a back and forth. Then Gideon comes in. Yeah. And then he has to fight the seven deadly exes. Yeah, so like pretty much the storyline is very basic storyline, but again, it's very teeny bopper for me. So, but I will give it as kudos. I give it a 4 in terms of it is a teeny movie. In a nutshell. But the fact is that he has to fight the seven dudes. And I think to me, that would triumph more than the love story.
Yeah.
Like if it was way more love story, I would be like, ugh.
Yeah.
But no, they focus more on the, you know, he's like, how many more of these guys you dated? My favorite part, he's like, how about you tell me what they were like? And then she's like, but why do you want to know? He was like, well, if I got to fight them.
He's like, did you ever date anyone who wasn't a total ass? And she's like, you're not yet. I don't, you know, like so
and
far.
And then he was being an ass. That was mad. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought it was great.
All right. I gave it a 5. Perfect. Fantastic.
Nostalgia.
But yes, part of it is that for sure.
Yeah.
Part of it is the fact that Edgar Wright was able to adapt this thing into without, there's some stuff that's removed because obviously this is like a 6-part like series and he had to cram it into a 2-hour movie. But nothing's added as far as I know. Like there's not a lot of changes. It's more like we just had to like subtract certain storylines that otherwise the movie would be 5 hours long. So it's an incredible task. But the reason I gave it a 5, because this movie, it is a love story. But to me, I've always watched it as a comedy first and then an action movie kind of second, right? And it has great action.
I can see that.
The movie's hilarious for me. And comedy subjective. So some people might, I could see, like if I was in your shoes, I don't know if I would feel the same way about this movie, not having seen it like when it came out. You know what I mean? And I know like my brother, he's younger than me, but like he loves this movie. I know a lot of younger people that saw it when they were teenagers, early 20s, love it. I don't know if like 38-year-old Nate would watch this now for the first time and like feel the same way about it. But I would absolutely respect the hell out of it just for everything it, you know, how the creativity and everything. But I do think the storyline is very well executed. It's fun, funny. Again, I quote this movie like an insane amount. Even if people don't know what I'm saying, I like to just, you know, drop some of the lines from this movie. But very well written, very funny. I laugh even now. Like I'll hear a joke that I didn't notice, you know, for the 10 other times I've seen it. So, but yeah, no, it factors in. I love the movie. So yes, a 5. A little bit nostalgia, a lot of it legitimately, I think, very good storytelling. Okay, what's your overall for this one?
Overall, I gave it a 4. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I like the battles. Yeah. Like, if the movie was more battles or whatever, and it was like he had to go through levels, I would be like, yo, this shit is dope. Yeah. But I just hate the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, ugh. But I can see it from point of view, you know, it's you're right. I mean, it is a very funny movie. Yeah. I'm not saying, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
It's not like I wasn't. I wasn't sitting there hate watching.
Right.
Like, I literally was laughing. Mm-hmm. I was like, this dude's an idiot. Yeah. It was like mad parts, and I was just like, okay, but I just, I don't know, for me, just the you know, stuff with knives was just not funny as much. Yeah. I like his Macaulay Culkin's brother was funny as hell. Yeah,
Kieran Culkin.
Oh my God, Willis
Wallace, his gay roommate Wallace
is not funny. Yeah.
Yes.
He was like, I need you to stay out of here for tonight. Week. And then he was like, for a year,
and maybe for a week.
Yeah,
and maybe for the forever.
Did you ever consider moving in with Ramona? Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
he booted his ass in the sense. Like again, it was. You had great. First of all, you had a great cast. Like even we didn't talk about it. You have Macaulay Culkin's brother, which is like an Emmy award-winning actor. Oh yeah, and he won the Oscar this year or last year or whatever.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar. You got Anna Kendrick.
Yep,
his sister. In this movie. She's funny, right? You had
Aubrey Plaza.
Chris Evans. Matt Funny. Oh, yeah. You had him. Yep. Yeah. So you have a lot of recognizable faces before they were big.
Yeah.
Right. You got Brie Larson.
This was her first like big movie.
Yeah. And she's an Oscar award winner.
Another one. This movie got two Oscar winners in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's weird to say because you're right. If you grew up with this movie, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And it's the same way. And this is what I tell people. Just the way if I say Back to the Future to a lot of people now, they go, what the hell is that? Yep. Or Dumb and Dumber. And they go, that's a stupid ass movie. Yep. And you're like, what? Yep. You don't like Dumb and Dumber? It's not one of the best movies. But again, I watched it in 94 or 93, whenever it came out. Yep. And I loved it. And I still think it's mad funny now. Yep. Outdated as hell.
One of my top favorite movies as well.
Yeah. So like, I could totally see where you're coming from. Yep. Like I said, I could watch this movie if I fast forward and get right to the villains. And I'm like, okay, this movie is it's really good. Yeah. But yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought it was a great movie.
That's a fair point. There's a lot of, I feel like there's two categories of good movies. There are the movies that are good no matter what, right? They transcend time, release date, when they came out, like The Godfather. You don't have to have been there in the 70s when The Godfather came out to now watch it and be like, wow, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
And then there are the sort of movies that are good because you grew up with them or you saw them at the right moment. This movie was a bomb, like I said. Like, it did not make money. It was a loser. It made money over time, but it did not make money when it came out. However, Universal, they said they were super proud of it. And so it kind of had the second life where they're like, okay, we're going to give it really good physical media releases. We're going to make a video game for it that did well. And now it is like a very popular franchise, but it's a cult movie. At the end of the day, this is a cult movie. This is not, I know a ton of people who've never seen it, like still never seen it to this day. I asked someone at work, she never heard of it. She's like, I don't even know what you're saying right now. You're saying these weird words. So, you know, you're right. This falls into that category. I don't think this is one of the universally great movies. To me, it's great, but I could totally see someone watching and be like, that movie's super weird and I could not get into it. You know what I mean? So you're right. I agree with that sentiment. I gave it a 5. For me, it is it's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time. I don't have any issues with it. I think it's funny. I love the music. I've listened to the soundtrack. I can't tell you how many times. Great, like great music, great comedy, fun action. One of the best 4K discs. We were talking off air. Looks incredible. Tons of features. Great audio. Like, it is one of my favorite movies. And if they ever released it in like a super mega Scott Pilgrim head bundle thing, I'd consider rebuying it. I'm not lying. I consider it because it is one of my favorites. So I love this film, but I'm glad you mostly liked it. I could see though the parts that you didn't like. I totally understand that.
No, I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you asked me now before, like, I would have not sold the 4K now.
Yeah.
Like I did before, because I was like, oh, I'm never watching. Yeah. Like, now I would have kept it and would have went, oh, you know what? I'm in the mood to watch something, whatever. Yeah. I would have just skipped to the part where they get into the band battle.
You also probably would have liked a lot of the features, especially the bloopers, because they're all unrated. So, like, the movie's PG-13, but the bloopers, they'd be just cursing like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really funny.
I can imagine.
Because you got a lot of... you mentioned the cast, right? You have Kieran Culkin, Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza, Brie Larson, Chris Evans, Jason Schwartzman. And you have like some lesser knowns like Mark Webber, Johnny Simmons, who was in a bunch of stuff. Alison Pill, the drummer. I think she was nominated for, she was on TV. I don't know. What's the movie? One of those HBO shows that with Jeff Daniels or something, like a political show. So a lot of people who went on to do a lot of, you got a couple Marvel people in here, Chris Evans and Brie Larson. got some Oscar winners. Like, it's aged well in that regard of like who is in this movie. It's like, what the heck? All these famous people are in this one movie. So yes, I love it. You liked it very much, which I like. What's your total points?
Very shocking, but I gave it a 22 Ooh. Out of 25.
You love this movie. I gave it a 25. I gave it a 25 out of 25. For Nate, a perfect film. For Alex, a very good film. I like that very much. Better than Spawn. Better.
Oh, better I will watch it from beginning to end. This over Spawn.
This is better. Yes. Well, we're going to see where this train is going to take us. I don't know if we're going to go up or down next week, but we're going to be doing the RoboCop remake to wrap up that franchise. And then we have a movie called Bloodshot. Now, Alex, have you ever seen Bloodshot?
I saw it. Okay. You know what's funny? I didn't see, did I see it in theater? No, I did not see it. That was my first digital purchase. Ooh. With Bloodshot.
Oh, so this is a milestone film for you. Your first digital milestone. Purchase.
My first digital purchase.
I did see this in the theater. So I saw my boy Vinny D in the theater. I had no idea who this character was before. And guess what? I have no idea who he is now that I've seen it, but we're going to rewatch it. I've only seen it once. I'm assuming you've only seen it once.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to see how we end this month. And then very excited because I get to announce the next set of movies after that episode. So stay tuned for those.
All right, there you have it, guys. If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Let's head over to youtube.com/actionmovieguys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episode. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Other than that, he is your host
from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.